morning, Bridge family. Good morning. Excited to be here today. I'm probably going to move a lot, so I'm going to scoot this back a little bit. I'm excited to be here today. Thank you, husband, for just giving me the opportunity to speak. Is this doing this? No? Okay. All right. You know, girls got earrings. I don't know if it's hitting the mic. Okay. But if it is, y'all just hand me one and we can move from there. But thank you, husband, for allowing me to speak. And I want to thank him because he's our pastor and he does this every single week. And I just had to do it today. And the week leading up to today was crazy. And so to know that, like, you got to go through that every single week, it's a little crazy. I can just take my earrings off. All right. So my earrings were cute. Y'all saw them, right? Okay. We're going to take them off. Because they don't want to work with the tech. Okay, so thank you, husband. I appreciate it. Thank you for never making me do anything I didn't want to do and for giving me the space to do the things that I wanted to do. So thank you. Thank you for that. I also want to thank my family who's here. I got my grandparents here. I got some aunties and I think some cousins here. So thank you. My mom is watching online from North Carolina. So hey, mama, happy Mother's Day to you. I love you. I'm glad that they're here. And then I also have a special thanks. I want to just thank my Connect group this semester. So you guys know I talk about Connect groups all the time. I truly love Connect groups. I love the community of Connect groups. And what has been special about this Connect group is it was all ladies. We were meeting Wednesdays during our lunch hour, and we were able to celebrate with each other, you know, celebrating finishing a semester of college or finishing finals. We had one girl who's in a pharmacy program, and so in Tuve, we were praying for her with that. We have another girl who's taking the MCAT. Danielle's preparing for the MCAT next month. We were praying for her in that. We have another girl whose grandmother is battling cancer, so we're praying sad prayers and powerful prayers and crying over that, and we're just walking through life together. But then they also prayed over me and were like, Ariel, we just believe that God has a word that he's giving you, and they called me into this today. So I just want to say thank you to Brittany and Danielle and Sharon and Intube and Shanika and Stacy, and I might have missed somebody. But thank you, guys. So I'm excited. I believe God has a word today. There's no shadow of a doubt that God has given me something to say today. So it's Mother's Day, and we have a word for the moms. But please don't tune me out if you're a man. Don't tune me out if you don't have kids. If you're barren and wanting kids, do not tune me out today. I believe God has given all of us something. Amen? So let's just pray as we jump into what God's going to do. So, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to share today. I thank you for the word that you have given me. And I believe that you want to use me to speak a word to your people today. So say whatever you would have me to say. Speak to your people directly. Pierce our hearts and sit with us so we can be seen and heard and see your provision, Lord God. Just knowing that you are a good God. And it's not about me, but it's about all that you want to do through me this morning. So use me however you will. It's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm excited. Okay, when I get excited, I do this. Okay, so this week I heard, and you can stop playing, Kadeem, because if you play the old song again, I'm not going to be able to preach. Okay, so this week I heard about a story of a woman who was in Utah, and this woman was kind of stranded in the middle of the wilderness. I don't know, maybe some of you all saw that on your Apple News feed, but there's a woman in Utah, and so she went to a campground. And she was at this campsite, and she parked in the parking lot, and she got her gear, and she went out into the wilderness. And that's normal. That's what normally people do. But she never came back to her car. And so the park rangers were like, there's a vehicle here. It's been here for a few months. It's winter, and she hasn't come. Nobody's come back to the car. So they started to get worried, right? And it's November. So it's November, December, January, February. No one comes back to the vehicle. And so they run the license plates and they try to find the family and they contact the family and the family's like, we haven't heard from her. They contact her coworkers and they're like, we haven't heard from her either. And so they start to get worried. So they set out a search and they go into the wilderness and they look for this woman. And finally they find her. So from November through, I believe, May, they find the woman. And of course they're like, are you hurt? Are you injured? Did somebody kidnap you? Are you in danger? Like, we're coming here to rescue you. And the woman looks at them and says, I just needed some time alone. I just needed to get away. 2020 has been a year, and I just needed some silence. Amen? Amen. Anybody, like, I just needed to get away. I read that story, and I was like, I relate to that woman. I don't know her whole story. We didn't get details. I don't know if she had a house full of people, if she lived by herself. I don't know if she worked out or if she was working from home. All I know is she said, look, I need some time alone. So they were like, well, we're here to rescue you. It's been a couple of months. You look a little frail. She was like, I got water. There's a river right there. I got a little bit of food. Please leave me here. They took her, they evaluated her mentally, and they said, fine, whatever, stay in the wilderness. And so I thought about that woman, and I was like, I feel seen. Because I spent 2020 in a year in a house full of people with the people I love the most, but also the people who can get on my nerves a little bit sometimes. Amen? I'm the only child. So I'm used to silence. I'm used to quiet. I'm used to I talk when I want to talk, and if I don't talk, there's nobody else here to talk. So it's quiet. But when you got three children, eight and younger, and a husband who's an extrovert and processes out loud, there's a lot of words being shared in my house, and I felt like if I had known that I could go to the wilderness with a tent, I might have done that. But I'm also afraid of, like, outside. So, but when I read her story, I couldn't help but think not only of myself, but think about another woman who I had read who was also in the wilderness. She wasn't alone, she was with her child, but it resonated with me, some similarities between the two. And so if you will journey with me, we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. Amen? All right, so let's open up our Bibles. We are going to go to Genesis chapter 21. And our awesome team is going to have that on the screen for you if you don't have a Bible. If you're watching us from home, welcome. We're happy that you're here. Share this message, not because I'm up here and I look cute, but because I truly, truly, truly believe. I mean, I do look cute. But I truly believe that God has a word today that he wants to get to people. And so they won't hear it if you don't tell them about it. So go ahead and share. But we're going to go to Genesis chapter 21, verse 14. And it says, early in the morning, Abraham got up, took bread and a water skin, put them on Hagar's shoulders and sent her and the boy away. She left and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she left the boy under one of the bushes. She went and sat at a distance, about a bow shot away, for she said, I can't bear to watch the boy die. While she sat at a distance, she wept loudly. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what's wrong, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the boy crying from the place where he is. Get up, help the boy up, and grab his hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well. So she went and filled the water skin and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew. He settled in the wilderness and became an archer. So today, the title of this message, for those of you who like titles and points and all of that, I got you, is A Mother's Cry. And like I said, even if you're not a mom, do not leave me, do not scroll on your phone, stay dialed in, because I believe there's something for all of us. So we are here in the wilderness, and there is a woman by the name of Hagar, and we are kind of dropped into the middle of Hagar's story. And I don't want to take it for granted that we all know who Hagar is, so let's journey back a little bit earlier in Genesis, and let me tell you a little bit about our friend Hagar. So Hagar was a servant. She was a slave. She served in the house of a couple, and that couple was Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham was given a promise from the Lord. The Lord told Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations, Beautiful promise. If you grew up in church and maybe you went to Vacation Bible School, you might have heard the song, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had, I am one of them, and so are you. So are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Left arm, Father Abraham. It's a whole song, okay? So Father Abraham had many sons, but at this part in the story, Father Abraham has no sons. And the way the promise of God came, and like it comes in many of our lives, it came at what seemed like the wrong time. So Abraham was old, and God is telling him, you're going to have many sons, but Abraham is old, like old, like past the part where you're playing with sons. You're playing with like great-grandkids at this point, and we have no kids. But God says you're going to have many sons. He also says that you're going to have many sons through your wife, Sarah. So Abraham was old, and Sarah was also old. And she was old and past the time where, you know, women are going through the change, and she has had that change, and change has come, okay? And no babies are coming out of her body at this time. Not only was Abraham old, not only was Sarah old, but Sarah was barren. She had never had a baby. So even in the window of time that would have been the opportune time for this promise to be fulfilled, the promise hadn't come yet in that time. The promise was a little late, and I'm also barren. So it's like, okay, God, do you see the factors at play here, but you're giving me this promise. And so Abraham and Sarah had faith that God would do the thing that God said he would do. But like many of us, time passed, and time passed, and time passed, and Sarah hadn't had a baby, and she's still barren, and Abraham's still old, and now he's older, and we start to get a little angsty. Amen, anybody? Like, okay, God, you spoke, but ain't nothing happened yet, so what's going on? So Sarah did what any loving wife would do. She devised a plan. And she said, okay, Abraham, look, I know God said we're gonna have some children. It hasn't happened yet. So let's just look at what we can do. What's within our means of control? How can we kind of manipulate the situation a little bit to get what we believe God is telling us to do, but do it in a way that maybe God hasn't necessarily said, but could work, amen? So Sarah devises this plan, and she goes and finds a servant. The servant's name is Hagar, whose story we're reading today. And she goes in to get Hagar, and she says, Hagar and Abraham, you're gonna take, Sarah says, Abraham, you're gonna take Hagar as a wife, and you're gonna have relations with her, and we'll pray that she gets pregnant, and that she has a boy, and that the whole thing happens, and we can shake our hands and say hallelujah and praise Jesus, amen? But she did what made sense. She did what she had the means to do. She did what was even culturally acceptable. In that time, it wasn't, no one would have looked down on them for making that decision. That was kind of like okay in culture. You could have multiple wives, you could sleep with multiple wives, you could have children with multiple wives. So she did what made sense, but she didn't do what made God sense. And so she has the baby, or they do the thing, she gets pregnant, she has the baby, and she actually has a boy, because we know it could have gone either way. She could have had a girl, she could have had a boy, we don't really know, we're just praying that it all works out. She had a boy. And it became very clear and very evident that though this looked like the thing God wanted, it wasn't the way God wanted it. And so turmoil and frustration and animosity and all of these things that are anything other than peace begin to circulate in that home. And God makes it very clear that, guys, you guys did a thing, but I wasn't in it. And so there's gonna have to be some changes in this house. And he reveals to Abraham that this son that you have consummated with Hagar, his name is Ishmael, he is not the one that I'm gonna do the thing through. So we're gonna give you another son. I'm gonna go back to my original plan, because I didn't forget my original plan. You guys came up with a new one, but I didn't change my mind. Sarah's gonna have a baby, and we're gonna name him Isaac. And so that happens. Sarah's womb is open, she has a baby, his name is Isaac. Isaac is born. So now in this home, we got a lot of people. We got Abraham, we got Sarah, we got Isaac. That was supposed to be the only people in the house. But now we've also added in these other people, Hagar and Ishmael, and we know that when there's a lot of people in the house, and especially some people in the house who weren't really supposed to be there, there's a whole lot of tension. It's a whole lot of animosity, and there's a whole lot of things going on. And so God makes it clear and says, look, I didn't intend for this to happen with Hagar and Ishmael, but I haven't forsaken them. I have a promise for Ishmael, but they're gonna have to leave. And so that's where we find the story right now, where Hagar and Ishmael are leaving the home of Sarah and Abraham. And God has given Abraham clarity that I will not forsake your son Ishmael, but he cannot stay in the home with you. And so I want us to just think about this story from Hagar's perspective. If you've heard this story before, Hagar is usually just a small piece of the story. She's just a little pawn, the woman who, you know, we chose to have a baby, and she did the thing, and, you know, we move on. It wasn't God's will, and so we move on. But I believe that we can resonate with Hagar if we just sit with her for a moment. Can you imagine being a woman in this time? You're a servant in a house. You had no say on whether or not you were gonna marry Abraham. You had no say in how you were gonna use your body to participate in this scheme they concocted, but you obliged to it. You play your role. You do your part. You do everything that has been asked of you. And God blesses it in the sense that I didn't have any control over whether or not I was gonna conceive a child. I didn't have any control over whether or not it was gonna be a boy, but it happened. Shouldn't we all be shouting? Can you give me a high five? Can you say thank you because I did what you asked me to do? We got the result that you were hoping we would get, but now I gotta go? And not only do I have to go, but I gotta go in the wilderness? You're kicking me and my son out of your house when all we did was what you asked us to do? And not only do I have to go in the wilderness with my son, and they call him the boy, your translation might say the child, which is why I have on the Star Wars shirt from Mandalorian, the child today. It all connects. Josiah also has on one. But he's about 16 years old, so he's not an infant, but he's not a man either. But we are now evicted. We are evicted out of the home where we have grown, where we have known, where we have faithfully served. And the thank you we get is some water and some food that I gotta carry on my shoulder and water in the wilderness. And at this point, she also runs out of water. So I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I have served your house. You kick me out, I wander, and then I lose food. And so it looks like this is the end. This is how it all ends. Like, Lord, I have done what I was supposed to do, but yet I'm here. I have been used and abused. I was a pawn in someone else's story. I was manipulated to get the result that they wanted. It happened, and I still got to go. And not only do I have to go, I have done my part. I've rationed our food because we're going on a journey. We're not eating all the food at one time. We're not munching out on all the food, drinking all the water. I would be clear in saying that as a mother, Hagar rationed that food. She said, look, you get 2 bites of this bread and a couple of sips of water, and that's it. I don't want to hear you crying about it. I don't know how long we're going to be here. Let's just keep moving. Amen? Anybody's mama like that? You get what I give you and don't ask for nothing else. But now we've done that. I've rationed my food. I've rationed my water. And now we're at our last. And I have, as a mother, to make comfort for my son. Let him sit over on the bush because I can't bear to see him die. And not only am I not thinking about myself, because she didn't say, I can't bear for my son to see me die. She's thinking, I can't bear to see him die. She's still caring for her son, even in their last moments. And she goes over to a bush herself, and she begins to weep. And can't we see ourselves in Hagar? Like, you may be like, you know, I'm not a woman, and I ain't never slept with nobody's husband before, so I'm not Hagar. But I do believe that if we really take a moment and just think about it, we can think about situations where we've been used, abused, where maybe we worked that job and we did everything we were supposed to do. We showed up on time, we clocked in, we stayed late, and when it was time for us to retire, we get a thank you and a goodbye. Nobody gives me a party, I get an email, we just look up one day and you're no longer there. And we can feel like I've done everything I was supposed to do, and this is all I have to show for it. This is all I have to show for the service that I've given you, the relationship that I poured into. I poured into our friendship, and what you give me is just crumbs. I pour into our friendship. I do the things. I sacrifice. I pick you up and don't ask you for gas money, and this is the thanks that I got? This is the way you treat me or you talk about me when I'm not around? Or I've done all the things I knew to do with my resources. I ration them. I tithe. I save. And this is what I look at in my bank account. This is what I have to show for the month I just worked. This is what's left. Can you resonate with the pain that maybe she's feeling? Because she thinks this is the end. This is how it all ends. We have this promise from God, but this is the reality that I'm sitting in. And what do I do with this mess? And not even a mess that I made. I did what I was supposed to do. I think about men who might show up for the girl, you know, you save your money, you make sure that you can wine and dine her and take care of her and just give her a great time. And you think that she loves you, but you realize that all she cares about is the way you make her feel. She's just happy that somebody is out there to buy her a ring or give her a nice purse. And you're hurting inside because you're like, I care about you. I want to be seen, but I feel neglected and rejected. And I'm left with this at the end. And so I think that we all can resonate with Hagar and we can resonate with her story, but the beauty of her story is that it didn't end there. That at her last moment where it felt like everything was falling apart, where it felt like I've done everything I'm supposed to do and this is what I'm left with, we see that Hagar weeps bitterly. And I believe that that's where the power of the story is, because we can look at crying and we can think that crying is a sign of weakness. That crying means that it's over, I'm broken, I'm weak, I have no strength, I gave it all, I'm just gonna cry it out, right? And many of us, you know, some of you may be the emotional type, and so it doesn't take much for you to cry. You may cry because you saw a cute commercial, you may have cried when Arby walked me up here on the stage, you're just like, I'm just open, I just cry all the time. I am not that person. If I'm crying, the Lord is either doing something or somebody has hurt me bitterly. But she is crying, and I want us to see her crying not as a sign of weakness, but to see the strength in her tears. So let's look at that. Hagar weeps bitterly. Let me move my earrings since we had to take them off. Okay, Hagar weeps bitterly and she cries. In her last ditch effort, she shares tears. And so our points for today is Hagar can cry and she can cry and weep in that moment, not as a sign of bitterness or not as a sign of weakness, but as a sign of strength because God hears. God hears is our first point. So let's see how we get there. If you look at verse 15, it says, when the water in the skin was gone, she left the boy under one of the bushes and went and sat at a distance, about a bow shot away. For she said, I can't bear to watch the boy die. While she sat at a distance, she wept loudly. God heard the boy crying. God hears. 1 John 5:14 says, this confidence I have, before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Hagar cried out because God hears. But I hear you because this is something that I wrestled with too. You might have noticed it if you were paying attention. Verse 16 says that Hagar wept bitterly. Verse 17 says God heard the boy cry. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that the boy cried. I looked for it. I read every translation. I read it in Hebrew. I read it all the ways. Nowhere does it say that the boy cried. It only says that Hagar wept bitterly. And I wrestled with that this week. I was like, Lord, what does that mean? Like, did somebody leave something out in translation? Is there a page missing of the Bible? Like, what is going on? What does this mean? But in our Connect group this semester, I really talked a lot with our women about how in scripture, you can look at one verse and you can get a whole message out of one just little verse of the Bible. If you study that thing and you look at who was talking, who were they talking to, where were they, what's the context, you can see some things. And when I looked at this message and I looked at that piece of Hagar wept bitterly, God heard the boy. Hagar wept bitterly, God heard the boy. Hagar wept bitterly. If you hear somebody in here weeping bitterly, you hear that, right? But God heard the boy. And I thought about the fact that God hears those who can't even hear by others. Others didn't hear the boys crying. It wasn't recorded in scripture, but God heard the boy. And I think about the moments where we cry and no one hears us, where we're asking for help and no one comes to save us, where we're weeping and we're doing the thing to say, come see me, somebody care about me. And God is like, it doesn't matter what they hear, I hear you. And if you need scripture for that, because I don't want you to think that I made that up, Isaiah 65 verse 24 says, even before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. And so God reveals that God hears us. God hears us when we cry, whether anybody else hears us or not, God hears us. And so we can cry out to God because God hears us. Amen. God hears us. But not only does God hear us, God also sees us. God sees us. In verse 17, it says, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the boy crying from the place where he is. And when I read that part that says the place where he is, God has to know where that place is. God has to see what's going on, because God's responding to the boy's crying. He hears the boy, but he speaks to Hagar. He hears the boy crying that no one else heard, but his words are spoken to Hagar. And so where they are, God's not lost on the fact that she's wandering in the wilderness. She didn't even have a destination. She just knew, I got to leave Abraham's house. They're kicking me out. I'm going to go this way. I don't really know where the end is, because the beginning of scripture says wandering in the desert. We wander and we don't know where we're going. And so she's wandering in the desert, and she has pushed her son over to the side, and she's sitting here weeping bitterly, and God comes down and speaks to her and says, I see you. I see the pain that you're in. I see the tension that you're in. I see how they have mistreated you and now you're here. I see how you've run out of water and you've run out of food. And I just want you to know that I see what is going on. I see the boy from the place where he sits. God saw Hagar. But not only did God see Hagar, God saw it. He saw the mess, the frustration, the fact that nobody asked for this. Ishmael didn't ask to be here. Hagar didn't ask to be here. And here we are. He saw it all. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the wicked and the good. And I believe that many times we can think that God's not watching us. God doesn't care. God isn't saying anything. He's not doing anything. So surely God can't care about what's happening with little old me. Hagar was a servant. She really didn't have any value in that culture from the culture standpoint. Then she was evicted from a house that would have provided covering for her, and now she's out here on her own. So she's a servant. She don't have a husband, but God saw her in the middle of it all. And some of you may be like, how do we know God saw Hagar though? And how do we know that Hagar knew that God would see her? Anybody? Like, I mean, I said that and it sounded good, but like, how do we know that in scripture? Because I believe that we can hear beautiful things up here. You can watch people preach on Sunday or you can watch a YouTube video, but if you can't find that in scripture, it just sounded good. And I don't want us to leave here thinking, man, she sounded good, but I don't know where I see that in scripture. I want to show you for yourself where we can find that in scripture. Amen? So I told you Hagar's story, but I left a part out of her story. And so if you knew that piece of the story, you might have a little bit more confidence in believing what I'm saying, that God saw Hagar. So we're gonna journey back a little ways to Genesis chapter 16. And I'll give you some context for this part of the story. So Hagar has conceived a child. She runs away from the house because she's like, what is going on? I'm having a baby. And she is encountered in the wilderness with an angel. And the angel comes and finds her and says, Hagar, where are you? Where are you going? What are you doing? And she says, I left their house. I don't know what's going on. And the angel comes and speaks to her and says, Hagar, you are having a baby. You are having a boy. And let's not skip over that fact. You're having a baby, you're having a boy. Now, we know that happened, right? But in that moment, Hagar just knows that my body has done the things to indicate that I'm gonna have a baby. But in those days, there were no sonograms. There was no OBGYN. You didn't go anywhere and find out what you were having. So for the angel to come to her and speak, not only are you having a baby, but you're having a boy, that would have been a revelational moment for Hagar, amen? And not only are you having a baby and you're having a boy, but his name will be Ishmael, and I will make nations come from him. So she has this encounter with the Lord. And then in Genesis 16, at around verse 13, it says, so she named the Lord who spoke to her. So she had this encounter with the Lord, and you can go back and read it on your own time. I promise you was there. She has this encounter with the Lord, and she says, you are El Roi. For she said, in this place have I actually seen the one who sees me. So we drop in on Hagar's story in Genesis 21, right? But this isn't the first time Hagar's been in the wilderness. Hagar's like, I've been here before. Now, I don't know what exactly is gonna happen, but I know that if I cry out to the one who sees me, he saw me 16 years ago when I was pregnant and didn't know it, and he saw me then, he will see me here, amen? So Hagar's like, I got history with this guy. And what's powerful about Genesis 16 is that up until this point, God had been the God of Abraham and Sarah. So I serve Abraham and Sarah. That's their God. God gave them a promise. I became a piece of that promise in their own crazy way. But God hadn't been a God to Hagar. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that Hagar knew God, that she had a relationship with him, that she had an encounter with him, until she runs away and gets into the wilderness. God shows up and she says, is this the God who sees other people? Is he seeing me? And let's not forget, Hagar was a servant. She was a woman. She had no value, no purpose in culture. So the person that people have dismissed, they have used, they thought you were just a pawn, you don't have any value here, you have no peace here, you have no worth here. God says, no, I am coming here to show you, not only do you have value, but that I see you. And so I think about that, and I think about how in Genesis 21, Hagar is sitting in the middle of the wilderness, and she has pushed her boy over to the side, and she's sitting here. And while we could be like, okay, well, let's just wait it out, let's just wait to die, she weeps bitterly. And I thought about it, and I was like, okay, God, show me what Hagar saw. Hagar's sitting here in the wilderness. Her boy is over there. We're out of food, we're out of water, we're about to die. But I thought about the fact that she is looking at a boy that the Lord told her she would have 16 years ago. So I'm sitting here, but I'm looking at this promise. I'm sitting here, but I'm looking at a piece of that promise has already been fulfilled. God has already answered something that he told me he was gonna answer. So surely this can't be the end. Surely this can't be how it ends, because he said many nations would come from my son. So if nations are gonna come from my son, but we're sitting here at 16 and we don't got no children and it looks like we about to die, this can't be the end, because the God who saw me sees me now. The God who saw me 16 years ago sees me right now. And I think about the fact, have we ever felt like God sees us? Have we ever felt like we felt alone and abandoned and cast aside? But can we remember that God did something for your life before? This isn't the first time you have been here. This might be a new wilderness. There might be new people involved. There might be new factors involved. But God's not confused. God's not like, oh, I ran out of resources and I'm sorry, Hagar, I saved you back then, but now you gotta go. God is like, I did that, and the same God who did that can do this right here. So I cry out to God because he hears me. I cry out to God because he sees me. Whew. And I also can cry out to God because he provides for me. So Hagar is sitting there with his son, and she's looking at a fulfillment of a promise that she didn't even know to pray. But she's looking at a fulfillment of a promise that God spoke and said, this will happen, and it happened. He provided. He did the thing. And he kept me for the last 16 years, so he couldn't have brought me here to forget about me. Because she knows not only does God hear me, not only does God see me, but the same God who provided for Abraham and Sarah, the same God who kept me in their house, is the same God who can keep me right here in the wilderness. And so let's see how God provides for Sarah. Verse 18, it says, "Get up, help the boy, and grasp his hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well. So she went and filled the water skin and gave the boy a drink. God provided, I believe, three things for her. He provided direction for her. So he tells her, this is your next step. I know you feel like you don't got nothing else to do. Weeping bitterly was a good idea because I hear you. But let me give you practical next steps. Get up. Get up. Get the boy up. Grab his hand. Practical next steps. He gives direction. But then he also practically gives her water. She couldn't see the water. She's consumed by what's going on. She doesn't see another way out. She doesn't see another resource. Death looks imminent. And he says, get up and get water. I'd be like, what water? There's no water. That's why I'm crying to you. But you look up and you're like, oh, that was water behind the tree was water? Okay, well, let's get some water to drink. And so God provides not only practically for her in a next step, but also practically for her in water. But he also provided in reminding her and changing her mindset so that she didn't forget of the promise that had been spoken over the boy. Because remember, God already had said that he would bring many nations out of Ishmael. And so not only do I want you to get up and get his hand and give him some water, but it's not over yet. I have more in store. And so he tells her and reminds her of the promise that he has for her. And when I look at that and I think about that, it's not lost on me that Hagar was just such a small piece in a big story. She was a piece that many people overlook, many people cast to the side, and I think about how has God done those things for me? How have I, in the situations where I didn't feel seen, where I didn't feel heard, where I didn't feel that there was a way out, how has God shown up and provided for me? How has it been in the moments where you thought, this is the last bit of food we got in this house. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to make it. And then maybe somebody shows up or somebody sends you a Cash App or somebody drops by your house and is like, hey, I made too much spaghetti. You want some? Your mama calls you and is like, hey, you want to come over for Sunday dinner? Like, yes, we are all coming. We're coming right now. Make extras. I'm coming with Tupperware. And so the generosity of other people might be a way that God provides. Maybe God has provided by giving you a job that you didn't even think you qualified for. You were like, Lord, this ain't, I don't know how it's going to work out, but if you do it, thank you, Jesus. And God provides practically in that way. Or maybe God provides by just that practicality of a next step. You're crying, you're weeping, you're lost. You're like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then the idea pops in your head. Well, have I called that person? Or did I tell this person? Or did I look here? And when you do it, next step after next step just begins to unfold for you. Has anybody ever seen the Lord's hand provide for you? Can we just thank God for the times back then that he has provided for you and believe the same God can show up and provide for you right now? I believe that God not only wanted to provide for Hagar, but that God wants to sit with us and provide for us as well. That when we feel like no one hears us, when we feel like no one sees us, when we feel like there's not a way out, that God provides for you. And one way that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has provided for us is through his son, Jesus. Amen? Through his son, Jesus, God saw us. See, Abraham sent Ishmael away. There had to be distance between the father and the son in order for the promise to be fulfilled. If you look back at Genesis 16, it says that he had to leave in order for the promise to be fulfilled. So the promise had to be fulfilled, but there must have been distance between the father and the son. And I believe that that is just a foreshadow of another father who would have to send his son away so that a promise could be fulfilled. That God had to send Jesus away in order for a promise to be fulfilled. That he, not only did he have to send Jesus away, but he had to turn his back on his son. That the Trinity had to be broken and divided. That on the cross, God had to look away because he couldn't see sin. And Jesus had to take the full brunt of our sin on his shoulders. And he turned his way from his son so he could turn his face towards you. That he turned his back on his son so he could turn his face towards you. That before you even knew to pray a prayer, before you even knew a God who loves you, who sees you, who hears you, he provided a way for him to provide for you in your mess. And so God turned his back on his son so he could turn his face to you. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken. Never have I seen his seed bearing bread. I have never seen the back of my Savior because he turns his face towards me. You need scripture for that, because I don't want you to think I made that up. Matthew 27, verse 46 says, About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. That is, my God, why have you abandoned me? God turned his back on his son so he could turn his face to you, because he knew the only way for you to be saved from your sin, the only way for you to really have salvation and hope was for you to have a relationship with him, but you couldn't have a relationship with him unless something died. And he didn't want you to have to bear the price of that sin. So he sent his son to save you and to bear the full brunt of our sin so that we could have freedom and provision in him. So can anybody just give a praise right now for Jesus? Can we thank God for a son who could do what we couldn't do, who could pay a price that we couldn't pay? We came up short. I don't got it. I got $5, but it cost $100. I don't know what we're going to do, God. God's like, you don't got to worry about it because I paid for it already with my son, Jesus. And so God wants you to know today that not only does he see you, not only does he hear you, but that God wants to provide for you. But we have to cry out to him. This doesn't happen if we don't cry out to God. If we don't come to a point where we see the need for a Savior, the Savior can't help us. The Savior is like, I made a way. I planned it out. It's all right here. If you would just cry out to me, I can show you the river. But you won't cry out to me. You crying out to your friends on Instagram. You down here in the pit, and you going live and saying, hey, guys, look, I did it. I was faithful, and here we are. We about to die. Say goodbye, Ishmael. Okay, here we go. You're crying out to everyone else, but you're not crying out to God. You're doing all the right things. You're saying, hey, girl, can you pray for me? You get in your connect group and you're like, girl, pray. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Ah. But did you pray yourself? Have you asked God? Have you turned to God? Have you said, Lord, I don't know what I'm gonna do? Said, oh, we just sang a whole song that had one word, oh. Did you say, oh, to the Lord? No, you did everything that you knew to do. You were like Sarah, and you said, Lord, I'm waiting on your promise, but I'm gonna do some things in the meantime. I'm not gonna idly wait. I could praise you in the middle of it, but no, I'm just gonna cast, I'm gonna craft a scheme. And you're doing everything that seems culturally relevant, that seems culturally within your means. None of your friends are telling you it's a bad idea, because in culture it seems like a great idea, but you know it's not a God idea. You know that's not the thing God told you to do. So you're looking for a job and you're waiting for the job and you're like, God, please provide me a job, but I'm gonna go ahead and go work over here real quick just in case you do that thing, Lord. And God was like, no, I told you to just use your savings and sit still for a minute. I need to get you away from the household, away from the people, out by yourself in the wilderness so that you can clearly hear my voice, so that you can clearly hear from the God who loves you and who sees you and who knows you, but you got to see me. You got to cry out to me. And as I read that story and we see it from Hagar's perspective, I also think about it from the perspective of a parent, of someone who may be watching their loved one suffer. You might be watching your loved one make horrible decisions. They maybe have known of the Lord and they knew what to do, but they haven't taken hold of him for themselves. And so you're watching them struggle. You're watching them spiral. You're watching them make poor decision after poor decision, and you want to jump in and help. And I thought about it, like, scripture doesn't say this, but this is just where my mind goes. Like, what if Abraham, what if Hagar had Facebook or TikTok or Instagram at that point, and she's down there in the pit with Ishmael, and she's FaceTiming or sharing, like, hey, Abraham, this is what's going on. I don't know what to do, but we're about to die. You sent me out here, and here we are. We're dying. Say bye to your daddy. And maybe Abraham wanted to go and save them, but maybe he wanted to go and rescue them, but God is like, no, this is a part of the plan. I know it seems dark. I know it seems scary, but they got to be in a wilderness. They got to have a need for something to a point where they have nobody else to cry out to but me. And I think about us as parents, where we can wrestle. You can wrestle for your cousin. You can wrestle for your wife or your brother or your son or your sister or your coworker, and you're doing everything you know to do. You're giving them as much Jesus as you can. You're giving them as much resources as you can, but they have to go to the wilderness. We can think about it can be hard for us to watch somebody go into a pit. When we care about somebody and we love them, it can be hard for them to go into the pit. To watch them hit rock bottom can be painful. But to know that God is the rock is where we can find peace. Rock bottom isn't hard when God is the rock. When you know that if you fall to the floor, but God is there to pick you up, there is strength in God in the rock bottom, that I gotta let you fall. I gotta let you experience that. And my prayer is not, Lord, save them. My prayer is not, Lord, show me what to do. My prayer is, Lord, have grace, have mercy. Don't let the floor be so far, Lord God. Please don't let it have to be another fall, Lord God. Please let this be the moment where their eyes are open and the scales fall off and they see you in the well that you have provided. Psalms 18, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and a deliverer, my God, my rock, where I seek refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. God is my stronghold." And so we can believe that it's okay for us to not just watch, but to watch and pray, to hold on to the promise that God is gonna do what he said he's gonna do, but you gotta go into the way that he asked you to do it. It's not always gonna be easy. It's not always gonna be clean. It's not always gonna be sanitary. But God has a story in all of us that he wants to be fulfilled. So as I close up, Kadeem, you can come and play some cute music behind us. I believe that God wants us to know that he sees us, that he hears us. And God wants you to know that he has provided for you. But what God wants you to know more than that is that he loves you, that he is not lost on what has happened to you. He's not lost on all the ways you've been abused and mistreated and discounted and counted out, and how you have tried the best that you knew to do. You did everything within your means of control to do, and it has still turned up with this. You're still drawing up empty. You're still looking at mess. You're still out of water. You're still out of food. God wants you to know today. He sent me here today. We had this whole beautiful worship experience just for him to get this message to you. I care. And if nobody else has told you that he cares, if nobody else has turned a loving ear to you, if nobody else has the time of day to hear anything that you have to say, if you feel like a burden to everybody else, God wants you to know that you are not burdening him, that he does not look at you and think that he did a bad thing, that he's not looking at you and saying, "I messed up. I wish I would have given that to somebody else. If I could do it all over again, I wouldn't have made her." That is not God's heart. God says, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I did not make a mistake when I made you. I gave you a purpose." And so maybe what we need to do, instead of sitting down and talking to everybody else, is to ask God, "What's the purpose you made me for?" So that in the middle of the mess, I can hold true to the promise that you've given me. Where is the business that you birthed in me? What are the things that you want to do in me that not only impacts me, but change a generation? If we take hold of something bigger than ourselves, then we can fight like we never could fight before. Hagar wasn't fighting for what God told her really was going to happen to her. She was fighting for what God said was going to happen through her son. And she knew, if I go out, then he go out. So he can't go out because God has a promise for him. And so I believe that God has given each of us a promise, that if we take hold of the promise that God has given us, God wants to do something beautiful in our lives. Amen. I truly believe that. And I truly believe that God just wants to hear our voice. He just wants to know that we see him and we see a need for him in our lives. He needs to be invited in. So can we just take a moment right now and just reflect on our good, good father? You may have had a horrible father in the real world. You might have had a mother who forsaken you, who abandoned you. You might have grown up and felt like you were doing it all on your own. But what I want you to know today is that you were never alone, that God saw it all, that God heard your cry, that he heard your lament, he saw your pain, and he just wants you to reach up for him. The good father that he is, from the pit where you are, if you just raise your hands and just reach towards him, he will swoop down and save you. But salvation may not come in the pretty package that you want it to come in. It might not be by way of the lottery, or it might not be by way of a cute guy who's gonna pay all your bills. God's like, no, salvation isn't pretty. Jesus didn't look cute on the cross. It wasn't a sanitary situation. Something had to die for you to have access to the cross. And so sometimes we gotta go through some mess. Sometimes things gotta get real before salvation happens. Things have to hit the fan. You gotta be all out of resources, but God says, don't lose it. Don't quit on me yet. If you just reach out to me, if you reach your hands towards me, I promise you, I will make a way out of no way. I will provide in a way that you didn't even believe could be provided. I will answer prayers you didn't even know to pray. All you have to do is reach out to me. So can we just cry out to God together? Whatever crying out to God means to you, can you raise your hands and just think your eyes on the ways in which maybe God has already provided for you, or the ways in which you need him to provide for you right now? And if you have a relationship with him, I want you to just begin to ask him to do the thing that you need him to do, to show you how he's seen you, to show you how he wants to provide for you. But if you don't have a relationship with him, I don't want you to leave here without any hope, because God has already made a way for you to have a relationship with him. He's already provided what you need to have a relationship with him. All you have to do is cry out. So let's just cry out together. Say, Lord, I need a savior. I can't do it by myself. In my own ways, I'm going to come up with options that seem good but are horrible in your eyes. And Lord, I don't want to do it my way anymore. It's too much work, Lord. I don't want to have to do this on my own. I need a savior, Lord. So I believe that you are the savior. I believe that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. And so I take hold of that salvation today, Lord God. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord, that Jesus is Lord of my life. And from this day forward, I don't care what happened 16 years ago. I don't care what I did yesterday, but right now, Mother's Day 2021, this is a marked moment where I take hold of the salvation you have for me, the Lord, and I walk in the fulfillment of the promise that you've spoken, Lord God. Have your way in my life, Lord God. Save me from my sin. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can come up.